in verse number 2. And we talked this morning, remember, we talked about the psalmist and the song here. And our first point, and I'm not going to go back and preach it, but we talked about the defining of the psalmist. And that's what he called himself, was the servant there in the introduction or the inscription to the psalm. He said he was a servant of the Lord. And we talked about the servant of the Lord and the song that he was singing to the Lord. And man, that's what we ought to do, and that's the greatest privilege we have, is to be a servant of the Lord. And no matter what we do, we ought to do it unto the Lord. Well, it doesn't matter if we're singing unto the Lord, or if we're preaching unto the Lord, or if we're sweeping floors, or if we're raking leaves, or picking up eggs, or building a house, or it doesn't matter, carrying the mail. We ought to do it as unto the Lord. And man, be honest, a Christian ought to be the best employee that a boss has. And why? Because we are servants of the Lord, and we ought to exhibit that in our life. But we've seen the defining of the psalmist, but then we talked about the declarations of the psalmist, and he declared his love for the Lord. He said, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." And man, we talked about the affections that he had, and then the attributions that he was given. And the word attribute means to regard as resulting from a specified cause. He spoke with confidence and assurance, and he said, "The Lord is my rock." And remember, we went to the points there about that how that the calamities in the crowd will try to prevent you in this day. And the Lord allowed us to preach there for a little while this morning and be a help and an encouragement. And there we talked about, we seen that in verse number 4 and verse number 18, or verse number 5 and verse number 18. And we see there that if we're not careful in this day and age that we live in, that the calamities in the crowd will prevent us from God having His perfect will and way in our life, and from keep us from being successful in our Christian life. And understand this, the Lord called you and I to be successful. Remember, and that success is not always, sometimes we think of success, we think of accolades, and we think of having a lot of money in the bank account, or a title behind our name, or living on a certain road, or being in a certain ground. But that's not the success of the Lord. Man, you study the success of the Lord. Paul was a successful man, but he died alone. Man, Paul was a successful man for the Lord. And man, he was in the prison most of his great part there of his latter life. And man, he was beaten with stripes. And even, you know, he was left for dead. And man, there's so much that Paul did and Paul suffered, but he was successful for the Lord. And so understand this, when we go to serve the Lord, understand this, the devil will do all he can to prevent us from serving him, whether it be by calamity or whether it be by the crown. But understand this, you can be successful, and God desires for you and I to be successful. And man, that's one of the greatest parts of success that we can have, is that we got to experience today, is seeing a new birth into the family of God. Amen. I mean, man, what greater thing can you experience, or you can have going on in the house of God, than sinners getting saved by God's amazing grace? Remember, the disciples came back and they said, "Lord, the spirits are even subject unto us." Man, they said, "Lord, we can cast out devils in thy name." And remember what Jesus said? He said, "Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." And man, what a rejoicing that is. There was rejoicing in the presence of the angels over that one sinner that repented. And man, thank this God today, that success for the house of God is, man, is seeing sinners get saved. And man, I pray that that's a regular occurring thing around the house of God. Amen. That's why we're here. I mean, I hope we're not so selfish that we think, well, it's just us and us. But man, there's a whole world out there, just like that young lady this morning. She said, "I've tried turning over new leaves," and she said, "I've tried different things, and I just couldn't do it." And she said, "I was so tired. And she said, I wanted a fresh start, but I just didn't know how to get there. And she said, ma'am, the Lord's given me a new life this afternoon. And man, what a blessing that is. And I told her, I said, understand. Tina shared with her. She said, look, as far as from God looking at your life and your sins, you've got a clean slate. You have a fresh start with God. You may have some things in this life, and we may have some things in this life because of choices and decisions we made. They may come back to haunt us, and we may have to deal with them. But thanks be to God, we have a clean slate with the Lord. Amen. You can have success in this life with the Lord. But then he taught the declarations of the psalmist, and he said there that I'll love the Lord. And then we talked about the attributions, and he said the Lord is my rock. And we talked about the fountain of the rock that gave water. And we talked about the felling stone. And we talked about the foundation. And now let's look at the next thing that he attributes to the Lord. He didn't just say that the Lord is my rock and my fortress. Notice this, he said my deliverer. And if you take your notes tonight, he's attributing unto the Lord relief. He said, Lord's my relief. That fortress was a place of safety. That fortress was a place where they ran and they hide and could steal away from the enemy, and the enemy could not get to them. And then he said, not only the Lord is my fortress, but he's my deliverer. And man, aren't you glad that we have a relief in this life? Man, the word relief means to ease or alleviate pain, distress, anxiety, or need. And man, I'm glad, man, that I don't spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S. I spell it J-E-S-U-S. Amen. Thank God we have relief in the Lord. Man, the times in my life when I've had anxiety and I've had distresses, and man, I called upon the Lord, and He was my deliverer, and He was my God, and He protected me. And I thought about David as he wrote this, and he said, the Lord is my fortress and my deliverer. And I want to share some points with you tonight about that, and there's some different things about my relief in David. And point number one in this was when David said, he's my deliverer. Thank God he's our deliverer when the felines attack. Amen. Remember, there was a lion and a bear that came out and slew that took a sheep out of the flock when David there was a shepherd. And the Bible said that David rose up and slew both the lion and the bear. And man, remember, David told Saul, he said, the same Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the bear and out of the paw of the lion will deliver me out of thine hand. Remember that? And man, thank God, man, when the devil comes and the enemy attacks us and tries to steal away those things that God has blessed us and those things that God has put into our care, thank God we can find relief and we have a deliverer when the felines attack. I don't know if you face the felines attack, but I sure face them in my life. I sure face those attacks every day. It seems that, man, some days I'd just like to run to the fortress and hide and not crawl out. I mean, and honestly, that's what I did Thursday. I just run to we found us a fortress, and that's a whole nother story. The felines done everything they could Wednesday night to mess us up and to get us in a bad mood. We arrived in Savannah and had reservations at a motel at 7:30. We finally got into a motel that I would stay in at 12 o'clock. Amen. I wasn't in the Motel 6, all right? I wasn't in the Marriott, but I wasn't trying to stay in the Motel 6. But I promise you, I'm not renting and paying for a room that smells like a dog or a cat, all right? Just go. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But when the felines was attacking that night, you can ask my wife, I was being very patient. But my patience was getting very thin because I was very tired. But the felines will attack you, but thank God for a deliverer. Thank God that he relieves us from those attacks. Not only when the felines attack, what about the times when the friends have forsaken us? You remember over there, David and Jonathan. And Jonathan came to him and he said, now, remember, I'm going to come out and meet you. And he said, if I shoot the arrow beyond you, he says, it means that we can't see each other no more. It means that Dad's so mad at you, Dad's so mad at you that you can't come back around and into his presence. Remember, Jonathan shot that arrow And he hollered out and he said, "It's beyond thee." I don't know if some of you remember that message that the Lord allowed us to preach on. It's beyond thee. When the Lord shoots our arrows, beyond thee. When that puts us in those things in our life that's beyond us and we can't handle it. And man, Jonathan, he was forsaken. Jonathan was not forsaking him from the standpoint of being vindictive or trying to get back at him. But him and Jonathan, their hearts was knitted together. And man, the Lord had allowed things to circumstances to come into their life. And Jonathan and David had to forsake that friendship. And man, aren't you glad that when the Lord allows people to forsake you in your life, that he can be your deliverer? And as I talked about this morning, there's a friend. I've got a friend in Jesus. And may I say to you and remind you that he is our relief when our friends forsake us. If you've never been forsaken by a friend, the Lord's never moved you and caused you to leave others behind. You don't know what it's like to feel forsaken. But I'll be honest with you, he can be your relief in that time of feeling forsaken. Not only when the felines attack or when friends have forsaken, but think about this one. Not just friends, but think about those fellow soldiers that had forsaken him. Joab and Ahithophel, his right hand, his counsel. Remember, Joab there had turned and had been vindictive against David. And Ahithophel had went after Absalom and joined Absalom's team. Man, can you imagine how that smote David's heart? And man, how so often in our lives we don't understand how God brings people into our life and then God takes them out. And it's one thing to be a situation of David and Jonathan and for God to depart you not over good terms, okay? But it's another thing when God or when the Lord causes things or allows people to depart from you in your life and it's over bad things. It's over hard times. It's over a dissension. And I understand that's what was going on. And man, may I say unto you, David was saying, he said, "The Lord is my deliverer when my friends forsake me. The Lord is when my deliverer when my fellow soldiers forsake me." He says, "I can't walk alone, but I'm glad that I have a deliverer that can bring me relief in whatever problem that I'm facing." Not only when the fellow soldiers forsake, but what about the family? Remember, Absalom turned his back on him. You ever been forsaken by family? I told that young lady today, I said, "Understand this, you're a new creature and the world's not going to understand it." And I said, "People that you, if you really try to live for the Lord, people's going to forsake you. They don't understand it." And man, I'll be honest with you, it's the hardest thing when families go to forsaking you. Because you're trying to live for the Lord. But I understand this. I'm glad we have a relief. I'm glad we have a deliverer. I'm glad we've got somebody that understands. Somebody that can alleviate that pain and that distress that forsaken causes in our life. That's why David was able to say, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer. He's my relief." But not only that, but when the foe continually seeks. When the foe, remember Saul, Bible said Saul sought David every day. Every day. And every day the enemy is out to get you. But God delivered David. That's what the Bible said. Listen to what the Bible said. "And David abode in the wilderness in the strongholds and remained in the mountains of the wilderness as if, and Saul sought him every day." But I like this part. "But God delivered him not into the hand of Saul." Man, aren't you glad that, man, we've got a deliverer. Somebody that can alleviate us from the hand of the enemy. The enemy may be attacking us every day. He's right on our heels. He's searching us out. He's going about seeking whom he may devour. You say, "Preacher, I can't stand the pressure no more." Understand, church, we've got a deliverer that will deliver us and cause us to relieve that pain and that anxiety and that fear and that stress that we find ourselves in when we're continually sought by the enemy. That's what the psalmist was saying here this morning. He said, "He's my relief." Then notice this one that he says. He says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer." Then he says, "He's my God." Amen. He's my God. My God. My strength in whom I will trust. David was saying this. He says, "My God is the true and living God. I was thinking about this as Elijah was up on the mountain that day at Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, and he began to mock the false prophets of Baal, and he said, "Where's your God at? Is he sleeping? Is he going on a journey? Has he took a walk? Maybe you need to go wake him up." And then Elijah prayed those few words of prayer, and fire came down and licked up the altar and all the water that was on there that he poured on the altar. That's my God.
Amen.
Amen. That's my God. The one that Nebuchadnezzar looked at them three Hebrew boys and said, "Who is this God that will deliver thee out of my hand?" They said, "We're not careful to answer thee on this matter, O king." They said, "Just be it known, the God that we serve, he is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us from thine hand." And remember, Nebuchadnezzar, they threw the three Hebrew boys into that fiery furnace because there was a council culture come out in their day. Amen? There was a woke movement to come up, and the council culture, Nicodemus tried to cancel everything about God. That's what was going on. They're no different than today. These three Hebrew boys said, "Hey, we're not bowing to you, Nebuchadnezzar. I don't care what everybody else does, but we're not bowing to you. We're not giving you that obeisance. We serve a higher power than you." That's what they said. Remember what the story went? They went and they made Nebuchadnezzar so mad he heated the furnace seven times hotter than it was. And they took and bound the three Hebrew boys and threw them in the fire. And the fire was so hot it slew the men that threw them in. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and said, "Hey, I see four men in there. I don't know what's going on." But he called out to him. He said, "Hey boys, won't y'all come on out here?" He said, "Something's going on." And they said, "That's my God." You know what Nebuchadnezzar said? He said, "I don't know who your God is." He said, "But he's mine now." And he made a decree all across the nation that everybody was to worship the God of the Hebrews. That's what David was saying. He said, "That's my God." He said, "I don't know about who your God is." He said, "But he's mine. That's my God." That's what he was saying. He said, "My God." He said, "The one whose face the heavens and the earth fleet away. The one who hung the stars and the moons. The one who created all things, and by him all things consist." David said, "He's the Lord and he's my God." He was saying, "He's not only my relief, he's the one that I reverence." Then let's look at this one. "He's my God, the one that I reverence. But look, he's my reliability. He's my strength." Remember, now listen to me. Remember, David had the Spirit of God on him, just like you and I have today. David is the only man in the Old Testament that the Spirit of God came upon and never departed. Every other being in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon them and then it would leave. It would empower them and then it would leave. David was a man after God's own heart, and the Spirit of God never departed from David all of his days of his life on this earth. And David is a type of the New Testament Christian. You see, just as that young lady got, and I explained to her this morning, she said, "I don't understand." She said, "When I would pray," I said, "Understand this." I said, "Before today, when you prayed, it didn't get no higher than the ceiling."
Amen.
I said, "But now, because you're in the family of God," I said, "let me explain some things to you. You've got Jesus Christ, the righteous one who died for you. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's playing your advocate." And I said, "You've got God the Father sitting on the throne." And I said, "He hears you now because Jesus is your advocate." And I said, "But that's the good part. But the better part is," I said, "you got the Holy Ghost who's living inside of you." And I said, "He's directing you and speaking to you now." And I said, "He's going to be with you always." I said, "You've been sealed on the day of redemption. He's took up an abode inside of you." And understand, child of God, you may not think that you can make it in this world. You may not think that you can stand in these last days. You may not think that you can make it out of your current situation. But understand this. David said, he said, "The Lord is my strength." He said, "He's my reliability. I can't rely upon myself because I'm going to falter. I can't rely upon myself because I'm going to fail. But I can rely upon the Lord because he is my strength." And understand, you and I have that strength of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost of God that's living inside of us. He is that dunamis power. I mean that dynamite power That same power that raised Jesus up from the dead is the same power that lives and works in you. That resurrection power, that same power that descended upon the disciples there at Pentecost and filled the house and then filled the believers, that same power is in you. I'm not talking about apostolic gifts. I'm talking about the resurrected power of the Lord Jesus Christ indwells your mortal body and mine. But I'm afraid we forget that. That we have that in us. And David said, the Lord's my strength. Remember, he had the strength to fight the lion and the bear. I believe they come out at the same time. I believe as soon as he killed one, the other one came out. Y'all remember that? Because when he stood before Saul, he said, hey, there's a lion and a bear came. And he said, I took them and I grabbed one by the beard, and they had to be may have been the bear, may have had a beard, I don't know, but I know the lion had a beard. And he said, I took him and slew him. And he said, and then there came the bear out and I slew it. How did he do that? How did he slay that bear and that lion? The power of God, the same power that directed that stone, that rock that we talked about this morning, that he slung in his hand through that slingshot that hit that giant in the back of the head and made him fall forward. The power of God. Do you realize that you and I have that power and that strength? That's where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He said, the Lord is my strength. He had the strength to fight the lion. He had the steam behind, it was the steam behind the stone. The power to slay the Philistines and bring back 200 or 400 foreskins. Remember, Saul said, if you're going to marry my daughter, he said, I want 100 foreskins of the Philistines. So David went out and slew 200 Philistines. 200 of them. And cut their foreskins off and brought them back. One man slaying 200 with a sword. How do you do that? The power of God. The power of God. You say, well, there's no way I can fight the battles that the Lord's got me in. Yeah, you can. David said, the Lord is my strength. He had the strength to carry the weight of the family and the kingdom. He had the strength to stand when no one else would stand. Remember, he walked out there on the battlefield that day, and man, all the other soldiers, they were hiding in the bushes and hiding in the caves and saying, man, what are we going to do? This Philistine's coming out. David, that little old boy, ran out there and said, hey, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defieth the armies of the living God? What shall be done unto the man that shall slay him? And they began to tell him, and he went to Saul and he said, hey, I'll go. How could a young boy stand against the world? How can a teenager today stand against the world? The same way that David did, through the strength and the power of God. David said, the Lord is my strength. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And if there's a message that needs to be thrown out to Christians, not thrown out, that needs to go out to Christians today, is you need to quit living in fear. You need to quit living in fear. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. Don't live in fear. That's what the devil wants you to do, is live in fear. The devil wants you to, and understand, all of these people who's coming against our rights and our liberty, they're nothing but pawns on the enemy's chessboard. It's all a spiritual warfare that we're dealing with. And there is no reason for us to have fear. For God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. We ought to have common sense. Now, understand that. I'm not talking about not having common sense. I'm not talking about being reckless. But you and I ought not to fear. I'll be honest with you, I don't fear the virus. I don't fear it. I hadn't from day one. I don't fear it. I don't fear getting it. I don't. I told my mom and daddy, I said, don't live in fear. I said, I know it's bad. I said, I know people that's died. But quit living in fear. Don't live in fear. I've watched the United States of America live. They didn't live. They have died the last year in fear. They quit living. They quit living. We don't have the spirit of fear in us. I can understand a lost person who don't know God, who doesn't have the power of God and the peace of God in there. I can understand them living in fear. But I cannot understand God's children living in fear. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. That's what David is saying. He says, the Lord has strengthened me. He's my strength. He's my strength. He's the one. He's my reliability, that I rely upon. And then look at verse number 3. His affections, and we see his attributions. But notice the appeal. Remember, we're talking about the declarations of the psalmist. He declared his love. Then he declared those attributions to the Lord. But then notice the appeal that he makes. Look at verse 3. He says, I will call. Why did he need to call upon the Lord? Because the crowd was trying to prevent him, and calamities was trying to prevent him. But notice the confidence that he called with. First of all, he called him expecting an answer. You know, you and I can call upon the Lord expecting an answer. Not because of what we've done, but because of who we are. Because you and I can call upon the Lord because of what the Lord has done for us. We have the ability to come. The Bible said, let us come before the throne of grace with boldness. Confidence, not arrogance. Arrogance is, God, you better do this. Confidence is, God, I come to you knowing and believing that you hear and answer my prayer. And I come before you knowing that you care. See, I'll be honest with you, the Lord has done something in my heart in the last 4 years, 5 years, as a Christian, you think, well, I don't really know that God could do any more for me besides just become sweeter to me. But what God's done in my heart is He has given me a confidence that I've never had before. And when I go to God in prayer, used to I would go with reservations. But I go with confidence, Brother Wesley. Because I come to realize that I always base my prayer upon what I had done. But I begin to study that we have an high priest. And I begin to study that we come by a new and living way, which He hath made for us through the veil of His flesh and the blood of His covenant. I begin to study that, let us come unto the throne of grace with boldness to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And when I come to God in prayer now, I come before God believing that He hears me and believing that He's concerned with my needs. See, used to, I didn't think that He was concerned about every little thing in my life. I'm just being honest with you. I thought it was a bother to the Lord. But I learned that the more simple prayers I prayed, the bigger answers I got. Used to, all I asked for was big things. But then God began to, and I'll be honest with you, it's the simple things of praying for a good parking space. Have you ever done that? Lord, give me a good parking place. I need to go. Lord, it's pouring down rain. I need a good parking place. You ever done that? Has He done it for you? You know what He done? He just built your confidence that He was concerned about you. I mean, if something as small as a parking place. Okay? Lord, I need you to do that for me. I'm talking about the simple things. I can't think of nothing else simple right now, but I do. The other day, we was praying. I had a washing machine that was, ours went to leaking. You wash as many loads of clothes as my wife does, it goes to leaking. And that thing, it had to be, it wasn't a Maytag, but we never had to call the Maytag repairman because it was that good. It's a GE, I think. I don't know what that thing was. But it has washed thousands of loads of clothes. And we're not talking about these city clothes that don't have no dirt on them, okay? We're talking about this stuff that you run through the washer and you run another cycle just to wash the washer out, okay?
That's right.
Right? Because it smells so bad because you sure don't want the good clothes in following my clothes, okay? And it went to leaking, and we started praying, Lord, we need a washing machine. Mama called and said, well, these two sitting over there in the warehouse in the closet. And I'm like, I didn't know these two washing machines. There's a washer and dryer over there. Make a long story short, somebody give it to Mom and Daddy. There's a washer and dryer sitting over there. So we go over there, and we get the washer and dryer, and we put them in. Plug the washer in. It's one of them front load things, and you know, and I don't know if it's good or bad or indifferent. It takes a whole lot longer to wash clothes. Hit the button, F1. I'm like, well, this ain't good. Hit red online, unplug it 5 minutes, plug it back in to reset it. F1. And then you're like, all right, Lord, why'd you give me a blimp, Lord? I mean, Lord, I need something that worked. I got to fiddling with it and didn't do nothing. Couldn't do nothing. I called Gainesville Appliance and I said, I got this model number. This is what it's saying. He said, well, you need a brain board, circuit board in there, the main one. I said, how much is it? $197. I'm like, oh, God. It's going to be 3 days. Well, you realize in a family of five on a farm how many clothes get piled up, okay? Well, I just prayed. I said, let's pray. I said, Lord, I'm just asking you to fix this washing machine. I said, Lord, you know we need it. Lord, you know we ain't got the money to buy another right now. Lord, I'm just asking you to do this. Got back up from praying, plugged it in, hit it button, F1. I'm like, okay. I called the appliance part guy and I said, I need you to order that part. Put the dryer in, hook the dryer hose up. I was praying. I said, Lord, please fix this thing. I don't know what to do. Lord said, hit it. I walked up there and put the dryer up, plugged up. It worked. I walked over there and I took that washer and I pulled a Fonzie on it. And I went, just like that. Plugged it up. It's worked ever since. You say, what did they do? God answered my prayer.
That's right. Amen.
He answered my prayer. He did. I mean, you talk about simple things. I mean, when you begin to pray about these simple things in life and God begins to answer them for you, things that He don't have to do, but He does just because He wants to show you that He loves you and that He's interested in you. When those big things come, it's a whole lot easier. And David said, I will call upon the Lord because I have seen that He's been my deliverer. He's been my rock. He's been my defense. He's my God. And I will call upon Him because I can. Because I can. His appeal to the Lord was, Lord, I'm calling upon you because I need your help. Notice here the confidence that he has that he called with. He called in confidence because, number one, he's worthy because the Bible said, I will call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. And may I say unto you, He is real worthy to be praised. Amen. But not only because of His worthiness, but understand this, but because of His work. He says, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. He says, I'm just going to call upon the Lord because He's going to save me from mine enemies because I've proved Him in my life And he's proved to me who he is and that he cares. There's some things that David there had said in that Psalms that if you and I will take to heart, we can have success in this Christian life. We may be the minority. Understand this. Now understand what I'm fixing to say. And I'm just not talking about on the Democratic Republican side. You are as a Christian, you and I as a Christian are a minority in this world today. We always have been. Okay? We've lived in lots of freedom, but we've always been the minority. But listen to me. We've never been the defeated. There's the difference. We may be a minority in this world, but we're never the defeated. Why? Because our power and our strength and our victory comes from Him.
Amen.
Amen. It's not because of who we are, but because of who He is. We may be a minority, but we're not defeated. Father, thank You, Lord, for this message. Thank You.